We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you. When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Welcome to another episode of The Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes, the storytelling show that features The Clearing, where all good questions come to get asked and all good stories come to be told, and where all my guests have two things in common. They're all creative individuals and all with an interesting story to tell. There are some lovely storytelling metaphors. A clearing, a tree, a juicy storytelling exercise called 5-4-3-2-1, some alchemy, some gold, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, and a cake. So it's all to play for. So yes, welcome to The Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we shall begin. Boom-tastic. Welcome aboard. I'm Chris Grimes, broadcaster, motivational comedian. This is Jennifer Ryan Peary Logue is in the clearing. This is very, very exciting. Jennifer, all the way from New York. Isn't the internet a fantastic thing? Because here you are dialing in from New York City. We have history. Would you mind if I blow a bit of happy smoke at you, first of all? You'll notice that Jen Logue...
No way.
For those of you that are watching, she's got a Superwoman iconic photograph in the background, and there's a story behind the story of that. And yes, this is really exciting because I called Jennifer Ryan Peary Logue, full posh name, Queen Jen, Queen of the Americas. She runs a company called PhenomenalSpeaking.com. And please tell me that your theme tune is from The Muppets, Phenomenal. Beep, 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 beep. Phenomenal. Beep, beep, beep. And lovely that you're starting to sing as well, because we must also talk about the fact you're multifaceted, multi-talented. You have a band called Salt Cracker Crazies. Also, there's R Bar NYC. In England, we'd say our bar, NYC, but it's Urber, NYC, and we're going to point you to loads of very exciting URLs at the end. But anyway, welcome to the Good Listening To Show, Jennifer Logue from Phenomenal Speaking. And what time of day is it for you in NYC, please?
It is 10:04 in the a.m.
Thank you. And the other exciting thing to tell you is I know that you are an arch nemesis of all New York yellow cab drivers. The number of posts and conversations I've seen and heard from you about that. Yes, so they are the bane of your life, and woe betide them if you get in the back, basically.
Yeah, you've got to have that's where I practice a lot of my assertiveness, radical candor, is in the back of a cab. If you've been a salty New Yorker, they sometimes try to take you a different route, and you got to let them know. And sometimes I post vehemently on social media about it, as one does.
And radical candor and assertiveness is right in the mainframe of PhenomenalSpeaking.com.
Very much so.
This is a special founder story episode where this is actually your second pass through the clearing. You were gorgeous and were one of my earliest guests when I was founding this circa about 250 episodes ago. But now the whole world has had a glow up post-pandemic. Here I am broadcasting live from Bristol from Future Leap Studios. It's really wonderful to have you back to take a second pass through the clearing. And, you know, we met back in the day. We've known each other for 15 years, working voices. You were Queen of the Americas. Big shout out to Nick Smallman, Working Voices, and the whole Working Voices massive. And then it post, what year did you get going with Phenomenal Speaking?
Oh gosh, I think we've been going now about 4 to 5 years. So it's been fabulous. What a journey. But yeah, definitely we met and cut our teeth at the good old Working Voices, which major shout out to to them because they brought me amazing people, so many amazing people, but you being one of them.
Happy smoke right back at you. Reciprocity is my favorite word. So for those that are joining us for the first time, now the happy smoke is over, when people don't have a frame of reference, oh, hello, you definitely look interesting, but what do you do? What is your favorite way, Jennifer Logue, of answering that question, the clunky networking question, what do you do? How would you describe what you and Phenomenal Speaking do?
Absolutely. Well, I think what I do is I bring powerful emotional intelligence, communication skills, techniques to really leaders of all kinds. And when I say leaders of all kinds, it doesn't necessarily mean the traditional, I have people that report into me, really people leading anything, tasks, projects. But I think why that's important is, gosh, emotional intelligence is a bit lacking in this crazy old world that we find ourselves in. And I think what's exciting is me being able to bring that kind of skill set, because I really think it enhances any business, group, community, being able to communicate better and drive better relationships. So that is what I do and why it matters.
And beautifully and very eloquently put. And of course, it's the whole hybrid world now of AI meeting EI and of course EQ. And of course, keeping it human and connecting is my whole raison d'etre, but also, you know, AI is a phenomenal thing. And I'll be recording some episodes about that as we, not necessarily today, but it's very much we're in that new world order, but we need to keep it human and connecting.
I agree. Gosh, I've been loving ChatGPT as a partner lately as well. And I love that you're saying that, because I do think we need to evolve with technology, but keep it human as we go.
And talking of keeping it human, you've got your favorite sort of coaching nemesis, which is Hazelnut the dog, please.
I know. She's in her trailer at the moment, completely sleeping on me at the moment. But we can, I don't know if the viewers can see her at home, but that's the little nugget.
That's quite the pooch right there. You said she's in her trailer. She's only small, but she's got a giant Winnebago.
It's true. Somebody's powdering her nose and getting her a tonic.
Yes. So she's being treated in the way in which you'd like to become accustomed over time, which is lovely.
I will say that she's got a tough job looking after me. So I don't mind when she takes a nap here
yes.
and there.
You're awesome. We've all got to take a nap after we've worked with you. We know that. That's good. But that's a good thing. Wonderful. Because if you've communicated well, it should cost you something and you should feel a bit tired, which is great.
Absolutely. Put you through your paces in a good way.
Yes. And I too can be slightly exhausting. And if I go out to work, my wife often says, try and say a bit less this week, dear. Thanks very much. Anyway, Jennifer Ryan Peary-Logue, I know you like Queen of... You are a queen, but Game of Thrones,
I think... That's so British of you, Grimesy, to call me the Queen of the Americas. It makes me incredibly happy.
You're very welcome. And you love Game of Thrones as well, and you love...
I do.
You wish you were Queen Khaleesi, I know, as well.
I do. I have to say, I love all fantasy. Game of Thrones coming out was a highlight. I was reading the book since I was in college to age myself with that reference. But yeah, I'm still a fan. I know it was divided in the kingdom on how the series ended, but I'm a fan and I have nothing but wonderful things to say about George R. R. Martin.
And going back a step to you being in the back of an NYC yellow cab, I think you just need to show them the first photograph of you with the throne with lots of knives on it and they'll take you the correct route, I'll wager.
Yes, I think to my presence as soon as I get in there and not messing about. I tell this to my clients, tell them your goal. Tell them the outcome and then make sure your behavior is backing it up. And I do that in a both assertive way, but hopefully making you laugh as well too. Sometimes the occasional humor helps, especially with a New York cabbie.
Lovely. With radical candor in there, just to say that again, because we both know that that's a thing.
Personally, challenge directly the right route to take me.
That's really clear. So this is the show in which I invite, and if you've not seen any shows before, where have you been? I've done about 250 of these monkeys now, but this is the show in which I invite movers, makers, shakers, mavericks, influencers, and also personal heroes into a clearing or serious happy place of my guests' choosing as they all share with us their stories of distinction and genius. And it's my great delight, Jen Logue, to curate you through a clearing, a tree, a lovely juicy storytelling exercise called 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There's some alchemy, some gold, a couple of random squirrels, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, a golden baton, and a cake. So it's absolutely all to play for. So if you don't have any questions, I think we've done the happy smoke. It's now time to curate you through the show.
Love it.
Lovely. First of all, energetically, a clearing is your serious happy place. Where does Jennifer Logue Queen of the Americas go to get clutter-free, inspirational, and able to think?
I get clutter-free and inspired by being surrounded by a community of creative-type people. So obviously what I do is so amazing, and I get to be with people and quite energized. And so in a lot of ways, when I have my downtime, I like something similar. And so I am involved in this pretty amazing theater company and also this really fun jug band. And so sometimes to clear my head, being creative with people I feel safe with is pretty amazing. And I'm very grateful for it. So my clearing is, funnily enough, in a bar that's also a theater.
In the bar that doubles as a theater, did you just say?
It does, yeah.
Love that. So we are the queen of Arbor, NYC, and that's your serious happy place. I love that. When did you last perform Arbor, NYC?
We do every other month, the first Wednesday of that month. So we actually have a show coming up here the first Wednesday of this coming month. So it was about a month and a half ago or so we had our last show. It's pretty cool. We've got a really amazing group of people that put it up. I don't know. I sometimes feel very funny. I don't know if you've seen that movie with Matthew McConaughey where they stay the same age, but he keeps getting older. There's a little of that going on where I definitely feel like the Khaleesi, as it were, of the group. But they're amazing actors, writers, creatives of all kind. And it's very SNL-like where we put the show up quite quickly, where we write it, rehearse it, and put it up pretty much within a couple of weeks of each other, maybe a little longer for the writers. But it's an amazing process, and it keeps me on my toes with my improv and acting skills, which I also heavily pull from in my business.
And I love the fact that's your really profound side hustle. Like mine is the comedy improvisation show, yeah, Instant Wit, that I run. But your equivalent of that, obviously, is Arbor NYC. And I love the fact that the Salt Cracker Crazies, how often do you perform with them that you have that going on too?
Yeah, we've performed, gosh, so we used to perform almost every week. Now we're a little bit more 7-8 times a year, depending upon the gigs that we get. But we play festivals and, gosh, Terra Blues, which is sort of an institution here in NYC. We also have grown as a group since, because we've been together, gosh, like 15 years. And so people have gone off and had kids and moved out of the city, but we're still going. We have venue, we will play. We will bring a jug and a wash tub and rock the house.
Boom. And are you a founder member or did you join as an ensemble?
Pretty much. It's been going that long sort of in tandem with Arbor. That's what's kind of exciting in New York City. I think that's a really great moniker to say, hey, I've been a part of decades and decades of these creative groups. And here we are keeping it going. I think that's important.
Wonderful. So here we are in Arbor, NYC. I'm now going to arrive with a tree in your clearing and shake your tree to see which storytelling apples fall out. How'd you like these apples? And this is where you've been kind enough to have thought about four things that have shaped you, three things that inspire you, two things that never fail to grab your attention and borrow from the film Up. That's going to be, oh, squirrels. What never fail to grab your attention, irrespective of anything else that's going on for you in your no doubt gorgeously hectic life. And then the one is a quirky or unusual fact about you. We couldn't possibly know about you until you tell us. It's not a memory test, so over to you and I'll curate you through it gently, but shake the canopy of your tree as you see fit.
Love it. I would say something that has incredibly shaped me is my family. I come from a long line of just pretty badass people, if I can say the A-double-S word. I did. So there you go, Greg. Professional to the last, but yes, my family, they're this amazing group of entrepreneurs, whether it was my Aunt Anna, who in the 70s owned her own business. She ran a court reporting business. And in the 70s, for a woman at that time in this very rural town in Central Florida to do that was kind of amazing when you had to have a male co-signer for a credit card or a mortgage. She was running her own business and being a pretty amazing leader as it was. And then, of course, my mother also had her own businesses along with my father. My brother owns a chain of restaurants that I'm really proud of him and his lovely wife, who they're a pretty dynamic business partnership. I coach their business as well. And so I find a lot of shaping happened not only with my family and extended family, but also my papa that you see above my left shoulder is still the love of my life and a huge driver of the values that I have and the drive that I have, because he was a pretty amazing trial attorney and would have me at a very young age. watch him try those cases, and quite frankly, is like a superhero fighting justice, and really taught me what it was to be not just a leader, but also a female founder leader, because he gave birth to three fantastic women, again, my mother being one of them. And they're an amazing group of people, and I'm only here because of them and learning from them.
And I love the fact there's a sort of entourage of, as you said, badass entrepreneurs. Oh, yeah. But yeah, obviously incredibly brilliant. And here you are, shining in your own sunlight there. Wonderful. That's a wonderful first shape.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Your second shapeage?
My second shapeage, now this is going to sound kind of funny, animals. I know we talked about sweet hazelnut. I really believe in that woman's best friend, man's best friend mentality. I've always walked this earth with either my horses or my best friends, which they just give them, there was a really great quote in Marley and Me, they give you their heart. And they don't care what kind of car you drive or who you are. They just unconditionally love you. And I just, couldn't we all learn from that, of being in the moment, learning to take a good nap, but also just desperately loving their humans. And so I learned so much from them, and they enrich me every day, my animals.
That's so relatable. Dogs particularly are awesome in terms of presence, being in the clock of now. And I'm delighted to share with you, when I first went to drama school, I was analogized as being like an untrained Labrador. I'll come in, lick your face, hump your leg, get distracted, do a shit in the corner and leave. But I won't do any of that. But that was part of my upbringing.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, I also don't like when people touch my food, in addition to all those other qualities that you have as well.
Don't touch my food. Woof. I love that. Oh, do you like to keep your food separate as well? We're getting into a sort of slippery...
No, I'm not too obsessed with that. But, I'll get opinionated if you take a French fry off the plate, if you know what I mean.
Don't touch my French fries. Yes, exactly. Love that. Also, the human animals that you whisper as well. You can tell that the fact you love dogs and the fact that you're a collaborator, you love animals, and you're a human animal.
Absolutely. It was funny because the horse I grew up with, his name was Mowgli. And I know this sounds very odd, but Mowgli taught me everything there was about handling difficult people, because he was a bit of a grumpy old man horse. But he loved me and I loved him. And I had to really be incredibly present with him. You had to know what you were doing to be able to handle a pretty intense animal like that. And I really do owe a lot to sweet Mowgli, who wasn't so sweet to everyone else. But he taught me about taking care of yourself and being able to be one and in present with another person, in his case, a horse. But it did teach me a lot about people, oddly.
And can I just congratulate you for the delicious storytelling of a grumpy old man horse called Mowgli?
Yeah. Love that. He would swipe at other horses and people. He only liked being with me. So I had to teach him to socialize.
What's so ironic is Hazelnut is so sort of, well, small by comparison to Mowgli. Yes. I wonder what Mowgli would have made of Hazelnut. Who knows?
A friend of mine said that to me. It was like, Jen, the dogs and animals you had, as you got older, the animals got smaller. Even though when I was younger, I had these very large, ornery animals.
If Hazelnut does come around from being exhausted and cohabiting with you, do sort of pick her up, which is great.
Definitely.
And I'm assuming it's a her, Hazelnut?
Must oh, yes.
Be. Yes,
it's
sorry.
Okay. Yes, yes.
And the Bertie
her
Buffon.
Pronouns are her, yes. Yes.
Our woof, pooch, and her. I love that. Well, that's lovely. That's a whole new course there in pronouns for pooches. A little bit of alliteration. Pronouns for pooches with Jennifer Ryan Prelog from Phenomenal Speaking.
We're inclusive here.
So we're now on, I believe we could be on to the fourth shapeage, or could be the third shapeage. I've been so happy.
Absolutely.
I've got lost.
I'd say the fourth is comedy, is laughter. I obviously mentioned my comedy troupe that I love being a part of, but when I first came to NYC, definitely like most young creative types, I found a lot of ability to perform in very dingy, interesting places in New York City as a stand-up comic. And Also learned a lot about the craft of difficult conversations, particularly 2 a.m. with a 2-drink minimum. Learned about how to craft a message, storytell, but also bring the gift of making people laugh. And I bring that so much now that I'm helping consult or teach courses or coach, that I find if you have the ability to let your guard down and it ain't that deep, and you have humor when you're talking about, let's say, your career and your development, these are important, important elements. But if you can laugh at yourself, laugh at the situation, have humor, view it with a different perspective, it's just such a shapeage for me that even in my most intense moments, if I can find the funny, it just helps immensely in me being able to be more influential and focus on what I've got control over. So laughter and comedy has always shaped me.
Lovely answers so far. So now we're on to three things that inspire you. If there's any overlap, that's completely fine, but three things that inspire you now.
What inspires me is my grandfather has such an interesting story of the year I was born. So he inspires me very much, but the year I was born was the year that he was diagnosed with a very rare form of cancer. And he said he got through that time because at the time he had to get treatments in Miami where my family and I were. And he said he got through it because he got to see me afterwards. And he has a very interesting story of being put in an orphanage as well at 13 and overcame that and created the family that he wanted to see and just forged this building of a family out of all the challenges he faced. He could have had a very different road he went down with all these life challenges, but he made it into something teachable and really was like, I'm going to create what I want. And I'm incredibly inspired by people who life may hands them a lot of roadblocks, but if you can look it in the face and go, nah, I'm making my own decisions. You can't tell me what I'm going to do or how I'm going to then be victimized by that. I just am really inspired by people who can take their challenges and turn them into lessons and keep it moving. Acknowledging it, you don't have to ignore it, but I think that's so inspiring.
I love the fact that for those watching that he is overseeing you and he is there. You framed your pictures and what you've got behind you beautifully, which tell its own story, which is really good. So it's really lovely to have his ever presence there. And when did your father die?
So this is Papa, my grandpa. My daddy's also very special to me as well, again. But this is my poppy. He left us about 8 years ago, I'd say. And yeah, it was one of those moments that was so hard for me, but I was so instilled with so much love that I carry it with me, and he's certainly not gone.
So he's definitely playing it forward.
Very much so. Very much so.
Beautiful inspiration. Thank you. Next.
Next on the inspiration. Yes, I'd say my mom. Again, I'm a very family-centric person. She's my best friend. She's sort of everyone's mom. So even my dear friends that I grew up with still go back to my mom and get her advice and hang out with her. And she's just been there, done that, got the t-shirt in terms of being able to walk this earth with two things, that empathy factor, but also that assertiveness factor, the ability to tell you how like it is, help inspire you to be better. And again, between her and my papa, they sort of instilled in me that I could do anything. And I believe them.
And I think empathy and assertiveness are your superpowers. So that's definitely been transmitted through the generations, I'd say.
Definitely. I think that's why we've said another inspiration. That's why you see Wonder Woman is behind me. Even mom would tell me when I was a little girl, I would like sit outside of the dryer because she would have to wash my Wonder Woman costume, but I never liked taking it off, and I would wait and then put it right back on. Because even at a young age, I just believe in those two elements of being able to help people, empathize with people, but also tell them what's up when you need to.
To kick butt when required. Love that.
Yeah, man. Come on. Lasso of truth. Let's do this. I mean, you can't be in New York for 24 years without being able to tell somebody what's up.
Yes.
Kindly, but what's up? And I do that in my business as well, too. I think that's sort of one of my big business values is I can come in, I can assess your business or help you with development plans, but I will do it in a way that is, of course, with a lot of humor, a lot of kindness, but I'm also not going to lie to you either about where we need to move to action around. And I think that's a good wicked combo.
otherwise known as radical candor, I think you'll find as well.
Good old Kim Scott, man. Well done on her branding of that. It was so, so brilliant. Yeah.
Third thing to influence now.
The third thing to influence. Yeah, I would say at New York City, it's one of the longest relationships I've ever been in, is my relationship with the old NYC. It is interesting. I call it a relationship because when I got here, gosh, when I was 21, it immediately informed me that I would not ever be able to control it. I got to walk with it. It brought me some amazing people. I actually started managing and working in Irish pubs and nightclubs immediately when I got here. And between NYC delivering the Irish to me also solidified the care, but don't mess with me kind of mentality of got an MBA running nightclubs and bars here at NYC. And I feel like Batman, but the city provides for me. It really has. It is so cool that any and all wonderful opportunities have really happened because I live in this great city. And as Frank says, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. So what inspires me is Manhattan and being on the Rock, and you have to blast me out of here. I love it so much.
If I can make it there,
if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. I'll let Frank take it away. Wonderful. Now, I believe we're on to the squirrels. This is the two. What are your monsters of distraction? What are your squirrels, your shiny objects that you never fail to stop in your tracks and they grab your attention?
This will be weird, but I'm a total video gamer. I'm a gamer. So sometimes in a good way, I get distracted, particularly with getting lost. Again, because I'm a high fantasy, Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, as you had mentioned. I think getting lost sometimes in a video game, whether it's Red Dead Redemption 2 or I'm riding on a gang in a Western or The Witcher 3, I think sometimes, again, it's a stress reliever for me, but it's also I level up and the storytelling's so beautiful. And I'm a part of a really cool community of other proud nerds that get distracted by video games. But you're still thinking and creatively solving problems. And I think that's really cool. So that distracts me sometimes.
That's a great squirrel. Second squirrel,
I would say also, again, my music. Sometimes I do get lost. And sometimes I will probably very embarrassingly sing all by myself in the shower, create songs, write songs. But again, when I perform with my band, I think it's really fun to get lost in the music. I'm not the first person to ever say it. But again, my creative outlets always help me squirrel in a good way of putting my mind on something else other than stress.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
And about your love and relationship with New York, just to go back a step, I'd forgotten to say that you're actually a Southern girl by background, aren't you?
I am.
So I think of you as being from sort of Tennessee Williams land back in...
Not wrong. A lot of my family members are very Tennessee Williams coded. Yeah, we're of the bigger the hair, the closer to God type, and also know how to make a mean fried chicken. I love that. I know there's some obviously challenges with the history of being Southern, and I'm very acknowledging of that. And just like any challenge, there's also what you walk in the pride of it as well, which is the food, the family, love, and yeah, the Southern genteel. Being polite. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So yeah, I'm very proud to be a Southern woman.
That's ended up in New York. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm a reverse snowbird.
I'm glad I persisted with that. No one's ever said, hi, I'm a reverse snowbird.
Yeah, they were like, what are you doing? What are you doing switching the roof? I'm very lucky that I get to go home a lot, mainly because obviously my family's there, but I have a lot of clients that are in Florida, so I get to go home a lot.
Lovely. And now the one is a quirky or unusual fact about you, Jennifer Ryan Pirilogue, that we couldn't possibly know about you until you tell us.
Well, I kind of mentioned it, but my unusual fact is that I'm a member of a jug band. is unusual. So yeah, jug band music for people who are Disney fans, like the Country Bear Jamboree. Really cool history in jug bands, which is being able to take appliances from your kitchen back in the day, whether that was your washboard or spoons, and be able to create music, which I think is super cool that you don't have to be a millionaire to create music. And that's a lot of where jug band originated. And I'm a singer. They have to turn the mic down a lot because I like to belt out a tune.
Love that. And the comedian in me thinks the one thing not to do is to use a cheese grater as a guitar.
It's a good percussion instrument, the cheese grater.
Well, you're the salt cracker crazy, you know. I love that. But there's a lovely bit coming up later on called Show Us Your QR Code, Please, and we'll point to all these lovely places as well. So we've shaken your tree, hurrah, which is in your Arbar NYC. And now we're going to stay in the clearing, move away from the tree. Next, we're going to talk about alchemy and gold. So when you're at purpose in everything you're here to bring to the world, what are you absolutely happiest doing, Jennifer?
So this is interesting. I know Dan Pink talks about this quote, you can't be furious if you're curious. And I really do think my purpose in this world is to be a mirror to individuals through curiosity and coaching. To be able to ask the right question at the right time, to unlock a solution. I once had a really fun client who said, you know, Jen, if you put her in a room, no matter what the challenges are, she just immediately cools it down. She creates space for people to be heard and valued, and she then moves them towards action and solution. And so when I'm at my purpose is when I'm most present, to be curious and walk alongside with people as they discover whatever solutions they may want to embed or recognize who they are and the unique strengths they bring to the world. So when I'm at purpose is when I'm most curious and most there for people.
A perfect answer. And now I'm going to award you with a cake. Hurrah. So do you like cake? We'll talk about that first of all.
Yes, of course I like cake. I was so shocked that that answer is not just yes, that it was a question.
Yeah, well, about the cake. So yes, I like cake. What type of cake would you like, please, Jennifer?
Oh, gosh, this is a tough one because, I mean, I like all kinds of cake. Probably cheesecake. I'll go with cheesecake.
A New York cheesecake. I love that. Okay, thank you. So now you get to put a cherry on the cake because this is the final suffused with storytelling metaphor. This is a dog's toy. I think Hazel would quite like this. Is she awake yet at all? Is Hazel awake? No, still.
That's a pain.
Let's say in the background. So you get to put a cherry on the cake now. This is, what's a favorite inspirational quote that's always given you succor and pulled you towards your future?
Absolutely. So Maya Angelou said, people will forget what you've said, they'll forget what you've done, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. One of the big reasons I named my company Phenomenal Speaking was based off of Maya Angelou's poem, Phenomenal Woman, which is a poem that really speaks to me and all women that we can really be anything we want to be and we're in the driver's seat. But I love that quote by Maya Angelou because it's so true about impact. That, I mean, both in the positive and negative, you can even remember where you are positively and how somebody made you feel, but also negatively. And so it's such a good reminder to have both substance and that ability to create positive impact with people. So that's one of my favorite quotes.
Lovely. And is there a refrain particularly, no pressure from Phenomenal Woman, that you remember particularly?
Yes. Yes. In fact, here we go, listeners. Now you understand just why my head's not bowed. I don't shout or jump about or have to talk real loud. When you see me passing, it ought to make you proud. I say it's in the click of my heels, the bend of my hair, the palm of my hand, the need for my care. Because I'm a woman, phenomenally, phenomenal woman. That's me.
Boom.
Right?
Yes.
That's why I named the company that. I mean, geez, you can't say it better. She's was such an inspiration and is still for me.
With the gift of hindsight, what notes, help, or advice might you proffer to a younger version of yourself?
Oh, gosh, Jennifer. The younger version of myself. That all of these cool heartaches that you're experiencing will shape you into who you are and it will be okay.
Fantastic. What's the best piece of advice you've ever been given by somebody else?
Papa, and I have it all written down, he said to me, remember you are loved. Ooh, talking about him. We'll catch in the throat, but remember you are loved.
We're ramping up shortly to talk about Shakespeare, to talk about legacy. Oh, but just before we get there, and I'll explain more about the Shakespeare in a second, this is the pass the golden baton moment, please.
Yes.
So now you've experienced this again, and thank you so much for taking a second pass through the clearing, Jennifer Logue. Who would you most like to pass the golden baton along to in order to keep the golden thread of the storytelling going?
Absolutely. She is another phenomenal woman. I believe she may even be in the chat, but Mariana Ortega is a absolutely phenomenal coach, businesswoman, and anybody would be honored to partner with her. So Mariana Ortega.
Thank you for that golden baton pass. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to pass the golden baton along. Thank you so much.
100%.
So, inspired by Shakespeare now, borrow from the seven ages of man's speech, all the world's esteemed and all the bedded women merely players, I'd now like to invite you, Jennifer, Ryan Pirilogue, to talk about legacy and how, when all is said and done, you would most like to be remembered.
It's interesting to talk about legacy. Again, my power of family, along with my amazing business that I have. But I have my sweet Gabby and my Vincent, my niece and nephew. And so I often tease them about make sure that you check on Auntie Jen when she's in the nursing home with Hazelnut the 10th.
Is she Hazelnut the first in the corner, just to ask?
Yes, the first.
Very important.
In a long line that we will see here.
She's the real queen in this equation.
Yeah. But I'd say the legacy that I want to leave to my niece and nephew, but everybody who works with me, is a little bit like what Papa said, which is whether I'm connecting with you on a business level or a personal level, that I have your back. And I always have your back. So know that I'm always here. I'm here to give you the real. I'm here to give you a voice. I'm here to hear you. And I'm here to partner with you on making you better or instilling what's already pretty darn great. So that's my legacy, is I've got your back.
And remember, you are loved is such a wonderful mantra. And now we're doing an exciting bit, which is show us your QR code, please. So for those of you watching, there is about to be a QR code coming up, which is take us to Phenomenal Speaking, please. So first of all, if you'd like to go to the Phenomenal Speaking website, for those that are just listening, can you just say the URL and the domain? For those watching, you can just scan the QR code and it'll take you straight round Jen's house. Okay. So just tell us the URL of Phenomenal Speaking.
It's www.phenomenalspeaking.com. Reach out to me for facilitation, coaching, consulting, all things elevating your business. I'm here for you and got your back.
And work with Jen and you'll become a phenomenal communicator. As it says there, we help people become phenomenal communicators. In researching you, I realized I didn't quite know how to spell phenomenal. I got it wrong twice.
No, isn't this hilarious? It's my company. And every time I stop to feel like I'm in second grade whenever I do my email, which is Jennifer, J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R, at phenomenalspeaking.com. But literally, sometimes I'm like, you feel like you wish you had a Gwen Stefani moment of teaching us all how to spell bananas. I need something like that for Phenomenal Speaking, because I also had to take a minute to know how to spell it.
And can I please text you in a bit of the Muppets going phenomenal?
You just
phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
And now we're going to connect with Jennifer Ryan Pirilogue on LinkedIn, please.
Yes.
So show us your QR code. So, yes, I've got the same photograph. That was quite predictable, wasn't it? So that's still you, the Queen of the Americas. That's Jennifer Ryan Pirilogue on LinkedIn. As this has been your moment in the sunshine in the Good Listening to show, Jennifer Ryan Pirilogue, CEO of Phenomenal Speaking, is there anything else you'd like to say?
Just thank you, Grimesy. I want to amplify you a little bit. My nickname for Chris Grimes is Grimesy. I've always called him that, just as he calls me Queen of the Americas. But thank you for doing the work you're doing, amplifying people's brands, being so amazing at storytelling and helping us all amplify our brands on here. So one, thank you. And two, as I said, I've got your back, and I'd love to partner with any and all when it comes to being more phenomenal.
Love that. Just a couple of announcements from me. If you'd like to connect with me on LinkedIn too, obviously you could be here watching it on LinkedIn, but this is being restreamed across all other social media as well. But this is Chris Grimes on LinkedIn, broadcaster, facilitator, motivational comedian. And then very, very excitingly, the website for the show is thegoodlisteningtoshow.com. where you can talk about being a guest if you'd like to. There are a number of series strands, one of which is founder stories or brand strand stories, which is what Jen is here to do. But also really, really excitingly, LegacyLifeReflections.com is a storytelling series strand that's been in the mountainscape of the Good Listening To Show all along, but inspired by my own father, who very sadly died last August. He's become a bit of a mascot where he was a very willing guinea pig to be the first person to ever do a Legacy Life Reflections recording. So there's a lovely picture of my dad in his halcyon days in Madeira doing a thumbs up, a bit like cheers to a good life. He was very willing. There's no morbid intention, but this is, lest we forget before it's too late, to record either your story or the story of somebody near, dear or precious to you for posterity before it's too late. And we use the unique storytelling construct of this show. And of course, it takes just 2 hours of your life to record and capture that precious life forever. So yes, I've been Chris Grimes. This has been Jen Logue. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Just thank you to my family, my creative family, you, and all of the clients that believe in partnering with me because I believe in them. Thank you.
Wonderful. So thank you for listening across the interweb. And indeed, thanks very much indeed. And good night. You've been listening to The Good Listening To Show with me, Chris Grimes. If you'd like to be in the show too, or indeed gift an episode to capture the story of someone else with me as your host, then you can find out how, care of the series strands at the goodlisteningtoshow.com website. And one of the series strands is called Leadership Reflections, for business leaders or those of you that work in the leadership domain to be able to share your leadership lessons learned along your way. Maybe you'd like to play it forward as you move from one leadership opportunity to the next. Maybe you're about to stop and you'd like to drop the mic to preserve your leadership legacy, or you may just want to consolidate where you already are as you share your leadership reflections. Tune in next week for more stories from the clearing, and don't forget to subscribe and review wherever you get your podcasts.